do welcome you to Grace. We do serve and believe in a living God. He is alive today, not only Christ, but the whole Trinity. Did you ever think of something? Who likes to read? Anybody? Wonderful. When you are reading the Word of God, that is one of the only times that anybody who reads this book has the author right there with him or her in that moment, because God is living. That's why Paul, when he is describing the Bible, he talks about a future hope for us because God is living. And this is what he says: a Sabbath rest remains for God's people. For the person who has entered his rest, that is the rest of God, has rested from his own works just as God did from his. Let us then make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will fall into the same pattern of disobedience. For the because behind all of this, the word of God is living and effective and sharper than any double-edged sword, penetrating as far as the separation of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It's able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. No creature is hidden from him, but all things are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. Folks, without Christ, we have no hope. Without Christ, there is no future for us. It's this life, a breath, and it's done. And without this book, we would not know of our Christ. This morning we have the Gideons, Bob Apple, from the Gideons rather, coming to share what God has laid on his heart. They are sharing the word of God around the world for free. Well, it's free to the people they're giving the Bibles to. It's not free to them. What if I could tell you that for $1.25, you could either get half a cup of coffee at Starbucks, or you could teach an eternal soul about the Savior who came and died to pay their penalty? Which would be better for you? Okay, maybe having half a cup of coffee and getting the soul to heaven, maybe, I don't know. But Brother Bob, would you come and share what God has laid on your heart?
Pastor, do you give free Bible lessons? Okay, thank you. You'll understand why I asked that question. There was a person in college, and he accepted one of these scriptures. It was the day the Gideons were there, and he accepted this scripture, and he read it, and he came to the back, and he signed that he was accepting Jesus as his Savior. And he took a job as a mining engineer in the country of Peru, and he didn't know one other Christian. And he thought, I'd like to study the Bible with someone. So he puts a sign above his door, gives free Bible lessons. Of course, nobody came. Then one day, it was a pouring down rainstorm. And during that rain, he saw water starting to seep in from the ceiling. Soon the floor was covered with water. He caught himself opening up the door, bailing out the water by the bucketful. While he was doing that, an old shaggy-looking dog came in, and of all things to pick up, picked up this little book, took off down the street with it. And Gilly, the mining engineer, thought, I need my book. So he goes running after the dog, and of all places for the dog to go to, goes into a noted witch doctor's house. Thought, I can't go in there, I'll be cursed. So he turned around and went home. Of course, he didn't have his little Bible. But about a month later, a knock comes to the door. I don't know what he would have done if it wouldn't have been the witch doctor, but he said, do you still give free Bible lessons? And he mentioned that something very odd happened here several weeks ago. He said, a pouring down rainstorm, an old ugly dog came into his house and dropped off this little book. And he said, I've been reading about Jesus. Can you tell me more about Jesus? I saw that sign that you give free Bible lessons. Took the Bible, and the witch doctor accepted Christ as his Savior. Over a period of time, he brought some other members of the family back. Some of them accepted Jesus. One day, he brought his niece back, and the niece accepted Jesus as her Savior. And today, the mining engineer and the witch doctor's niece are husband and wife, and he's serving as a pastor there in Peru, winning many to the Lord Jesus. Now, you have a Gideon that comes here on a pretty regular basis. And They tell you about given areas that we hand out copies of this book. And one of them isn't to give it to a dog. But Isaiah 55:11 tells us that God's word does not return into him void. So you are an integral part of this ministry. And I want to say I was blessed being here in your service this morning. Despite my arriving at the very, very last minute this morning, confusion with time, I enjoy being here. You are blessed. You have some enthusiastic people that are working here in this church. And hopefully you'll be encouraged when you leave here this morning. I felt like one of our international presidents said it would be best for me just to sit down now and not ruin anything. But we'll try to encourage you and, you know, maybe be appropriate for me to read from the scripture. Should I read Psalms 119 this morning? I wouldn't have to say much else, would I? That's the longest. Do you know what? That's the longest chapter in the Bible. You know what the shortest chapter is? Two before that, I think. Psalms 117. Do you know what the middle verse is in the Bible? I didn't count them up, but I was told either Psalms 118, 8, or 9. And basically what it states is better to put your trust in God rather than man. I think that's a great center verse for the scripture. But I do want to give you one verse. And it's become my life verse. 1 Corinthians 15:58. I have it memorized in the King James. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful this morning for this privilege that we have to be here to share with these precious people. We realize that we ourselves are incapable to be behind this sacred desk. We need your help. So just give us the words that you'd want us to share. Give us the testimonies you'd want us to use. And Lord, if there's that one individual here that doesn't know the Jesus that the witch doctor didn't know about, we just pray that they'd come to the pastor or one of the leaders afterwards to get more knowledge about this Jesus and accept him as their Savior so we can be one another in heaven. And Lord, for those of us that know you, we just pray that we'd be encouraged to do as much as what we can for you. If we're working at our capacity now, that we'd continue to, and if not, we'd realize the importance of serving you and doing all that we can for you. Just have your hand upon us. We'll thank you for all that you do. In your name we pray. Amen. You know, typically when a Gideon comes, they'll share how this is your missionary. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year for about a 6-year period. It's in a motel. We figure the potential to reach about 2,300 people in that period of time. In addition to that being in the motel, we have it in cruise ships, airlines, attorney offices. Our wives, the auxiliary members, very important part of the ministry. They place it in dentist and physician offices. And then we have a large print. I'm sure the pastor has seen in visiting people and some of you others in convalescent homes and hospitals. You see the large print, New Testament and Psalms. And then a small testament, like this size, that we give the school children, fifth grade on up, when we can't get into the school, the sidewalk, can't do that, the county agricultural fair. Give it to college students. Give it to those being inducted in the military, those working in hospitals, EMTs, firefighters, policemen. If I were to ask you how many we're handing out between the large print and these two sizes, how many do you think it would be? You could say a lot, that would probably be correct, but if you 1 million copies every 4 days is about what we're handing out, even if a dog gets his teeth in a copy, can bring someone to the Lord. So this is an integral ministry. And you know, by you having us here on an annual basis and praying for us, you could really have a sign out front that you're supporting missionaries in 199 countries, because that's what you're doing with God's word going out. And so appreciative of positive comments that were made by several of you between services here and with the pastor up front. And we do consider ourselves to be an extension of the church, going out, making God's word available. We're using individual church, may not be able to. In the state of Indiana, a Gideon speaker was sharing, much like I am this morning probably, and at the end of the service, another Gideon, who wasn't a Gideon speaker, but he came up to talk to the speaker, and he said, "You didn't mention anything about the prison ministry." And I guess I didn't either here this morning, but I will say, when we take these out of the motel, when they're damaged a little, we take them out of the motel, we don't throw them away. We give them a life sentence. We place them in prison, give them to an inmate. So what happened, and another thing with the Gideons, you don't see pictures of Gideons in the paper as a rule, or you don't see see us promoting the Gideons in the paper, become a Gideon, only cost $60, good investment, or the Gideons hand out a million copies of God's word every 4 days. You don't see things like that in print to the general public. Signs along Interstate 99 and so forth. But we come to churches such as I am this morning to leave you know what I'm doing. But out there in Indiana, this Bill Emmerich, who came up to talk to the Gideon speaker, said, I have to tell you what happened to me. He said, I went to the Fort Wayne prison every Saturday morning for 25 years. He said this one week, the sheriff called me, wanting to know if he could have his picture taken with me when I was handing out scriptures. Evidently, the sheriff was running to be reelected for office. And Bill Emmerich agreed to it, but it didn't happen anyhow. Something we would not encourage Gideons to do, to get the publicity that way. But anyhow, Bill Emmerich is there, 8 o'clock on a Saturday morning, handing out these recycled motel Bibles to the inmates. And then he preaches. You give a gospel message when you go to a prison that way. He takes his help in time of need section, Gospel of John. He speaks for about an hour, gives an invitation. There's no response. But the sheriff said, no, speak a little longer. Photographer will be coming. So Bill goes back and he shares again, help in time of need section, Gospel of John. They're hearing the same message twice. About 10 o'clock, gives an invitation. There's no response. So Bill's going to go home. Sheriff said, no, speak a little longer. Now keep in mind, he had a captive audience. They couldn't walk out into him. If I speak too long here, I think you can walk out in me. I don't think these doors are barred. But pastor's nodding his head. He's thinking he might walk out, I think, on me. But he speaks for that third hour. Help in time of need section, Gospel of John. Gives an invitation, no response. He's basically out the door, and the sheriff said, no, photographer's a good friend. I'm going to call him again. It's still morning. Please speak a little longer. He spoke for that fourth hour. They're hearing the same thing four times. Help him time the need section, Gospel of John. Invitation at 12 noon. There's no response. And Bill went home. He said, I just told his wife, I just wasted my entire morning at the Fort Wayne prison. Now, did he waste his entire morning? Do you ever think that you're wasting your time? Now, you're up in a hill somewhat here. I live in a little town called Mount Pleasant Mills. That's down in the valley. How many of you know where Mount Pleasant Mills, Pennsylvania is? Middleburg, Freeburg, Sillinsgrove, Lewisburg. Shame on you. I was in Calcutta, India, and a person knew where Mount Pleasant Mills was. It's only about an hour and 35 minutes from here, I think. But seriously, sometimes we can get discouraged, even though I'm sure Bill Emmerich knew deep down within he didn't waste his entire morning. But that's what he told his wife. And you might be involved in a prison ministry. And I can tell you, I'm not saying they don't deserve to be there, but some great Christian people in prisons. I was involved over at Allenwood Complex there at Lewisburg. Some of the best services I was ever in was there in connection with that facility. But you'll have people who will make fun of you. Hey, that's jailhouse religion and so forth, and you're wasting your time going there. Well, you're not. Maybe you're involved in the convalescent home ministry. You go there and the heads are nodding and so forth. You wonder, am I doing any good? Maybe you're involved in street ministry. Some people will make fun of you. Maybe you're involved in teaching young people. Even though they might come from good Christian families, it can be some challenges. And you can get some that aren't from Christian families at all, giving you a rough time. You wonder, am I doing any good? Maybe you're one of these ladies that takes special care of taking that plate of cookies or the pies and placing that call or giving that card. You're encouraging someone. You wonder, am I doing any good? You know, maybe someone stopped here 2 weeks ago, heard your pastor preach, and somehow he came in and out and basically didn't talk to anybody, but through something that was said, he turned his life over to the Lord. The pastor's not going to know about it until he gets to heaven. So Bill Emmerich was discouraged that morning, and he told his wife that. But 16 years later, he's downtown Cleveland, Ohio, handing out gospel tracts on a street corner. And this person comes up the street. He must have seen this emblem. He said, are you a Gideon? Bill says, yes, I am. Why do you ask? Well, it was Len Schellenbacher. And sheepishly then held his head. He said, you see, the Gideons have something to do with my salvation. You see, I was in prison. I couldn't tell you who he was, but it was out in Fort Wayne, Indiana. It was a Gideon there that one morning. He spoke for 4 solid hours. I'm sure Bill started paying attention. Len Schellenbacher said when he went back to his cell, he took that Bible. He said, this help in time and need section was just what I needed. And he said, I read it. And he said, I accepted Jesus. And he said, when I was released from prison, I led my wife to the Lord, a son, a daughter, a brother, and a sister, plus Len himself. So 16 years after Bill Emmerich told his wife he wasted his entire morning, he found out that he impacted six lives that morning. If the Lord has called you into a ministry, you be faithful. You won't know what has been accomplished as a result of your ministry till you get to heaven. It's nice when I show those pictures in Nigeria during Sunday school where someone accepted Christ right in the spot. Or it's nice when you find out about it 16 years later. But many times we won't find out about it till we get to heaven. So whatever ministry the Lord has called you into, you be faithful in serving him. If you forget everything else that Bob Apple says this morning, remember 1 Corinthians 15:58 and Bill Emmerich. And I have to apply that to myself sometimes. I felt well received at this point here this morning. I might be up in Erie or someplace and coming back. You wonder, did you really accomplish anything? Then I have to go back to the Bill Emmerich testimony in 1 Corinthians 15:58. So keep that verse as a reminder to be faithful to him and whatever he's called you to. Let's go to the country of Albania. If you see me reading from this book, I'm faking it because I can't read Albanian. But I know where some key verses are at the back that we pull out, John 3:16 and so forth. I was privileged to be in Albania, country that's 70-some percent Muslim, very small country about the size of the state of Maryland, located very close to where Yugoslavia was. You had the big breakup. When Albania broke away from the Soviet Union, it was no big issue. They had a communistic leader named Hoxha. They said the most communistic of all countries. Here in Pennsylvania, we have 122 groups of Gideons. Like here in Blair County, this is part of what we call the Blair North Group. Then down by Altoona, it's the Blair Central. Down by Martinsburg, it's Blair South. Where I'm at Snyder County, we just have one. Basically, one per county, or larger counties, you have more. But in Albania, they had seven groups of Gideons. What was different, though, I know for a fact that not in five of those Gideon groups, not a one of them had an automobile. In other words, they were rather poor people. I think I try to repeat very little of what I share in Sunday school in worship. But the one thing I will share, don't think you'd like to become part of the Gideons to become rich here in this life. It doesn't quite work that way. We went over to Albania. There's five of us from the United States, one from Northern Ireland, one from Sweden. And we got there. We paid for our airfare. We paid for lodging and going to be paying for our meals. They want to know if we would pay for the salaries of the local Gideons that were taken off work to help with the distribution. Well, you would think they would pay us something for coming to help them, you know, but then we found out they made $5 to $7 a day, so we paid for their salaries. And now something that was different in Albania, and they tell me it's one other spot in either Romania or Bulgaria this way, and when you don't know the language, you'd be surprised how much you depend upon head nodding. In Albania, when you nodded your head this way, it was no. When you shook your head this way, it was yes. And if that wasn't confusing, I'd think we were getting no place, and all of a sudden the doors would open, we'd be going in. But there in Albania, I wasn't part of this distribution. We spend most of our time in the capital city of Tirana. But about an hour's drive north of there, they said it was one church where the Bible was being preached. And there were enough men and women interested in the Gideon ministry, they formed a local group of Gideons there. And then, through a church like yours, someone gave $1.20, provided one of these books. Someone gave $120, provided 100 of them. You get the math. $1,200, 1,000 of them. They had Bibles there. Those Gideons were a part of that church. That local church they were a part of took up an offering to pay for the bus fare to send them out. They went out to hand out scriptures. They come to this one school, and this girl says, even though I'm a visitor, may I have a copy? And they told her she could, and she took that copy, and she read it, and she read it, and she read it. And she gets to the back, and she's signing that she's accepting Jesus. What should we do when we accept Jesus? Be quiet about it, or tell others? Tell others. Who was she going to tell? So she's at her home school. She tells four of her good friends what she did, and they said, well, give us a copy. Give us a copy. Well, no, she couldn't. She only had the one. But then after much pleading, she takes a book of Matthew, tears it out, gives it to this person. Book of Mark, book of Luke, book of John. So you take it and read it, and he's changed. 2 weeks, he's changed. So after 2 months, those girls had read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And you know what happened, or I wouldn't be telling this. They all accepted Jesus as their Savior. $1.20 changed 5 lives. That's a pretty good investment. Isn't it amazing how the Spirit of God can take the Word of God and make a child of God? So let's assume then, a year later, that there was a Gideon here, and he talked about cards that you have available. There's a card display with cards such as this in the table in the hallway. If you go to the right a little bit after you enter, exit here. In memory, in recognition, thinking of you. And I must admit, if I would have been sharing here 7 years ago, probably, I wouldn't have mentioned this. But a pastor right in my area pulled me alongside. He said, Bob, you have to share in front of everyone like you shared with these two couples when they were leaving here. My wife and I would go to Gideon meetings, and we didn't pay attention or seem complicated. But then I had an aunt who taught Sunday school class faithfully for many years at the Exeter Bible Church just outside of Reading. Little get-together for my aunt. Said, what are we going to get for Aunt Sadie? So my wife and I took this card. Now, some of you heard me share it. My scribbling is terrible. So I don't write too much on the side of the card, but my wife does when she's involved with it. I put in recognition of teaching Sunday school class and made it for 5 getting recognition Bibles, our address. Now, this doesn't say $2.99 or $5.99 in the back. The card is free. But when you use it, we want you to give for 1 or more motel Bibles. Cost us $5 to place a Bible in a motel. So you could say, in a way, the card cost you $5, I guess. Or some people will send for 2 Bibles or 5 Bibles or whatever. But we placed a check of $25 for 5 Bibles in this envelope. Ours says Silms Grove. Yours here, I think, says Tyrone or Spruce Creek. I'm not sure. And my wife wrote a note along the side. We went to this little get-together for Aunt Sadie, and Aunt Sadie was reading what she got from the different people, and she became emotional. She couldn't finish reading. Comments my wife had there, and realizing 5 Bibles were given. Afterwards, she comes back to her. She said, Bob and Gloria, how could you think you get me such a nice gift? You know, we're moving to the convalescent home at Quarryville. We have to get rid of things. I get all these nice doodads and whatnots, but we have to get rid of them. But you gave for Bibles. That means so much to me. So I tell Gloria going home, we should use that program. We stop in to see Aunt Sadie and Uncle John about 6 weeks later. They're at the convalescent home. Within 5 minutes, Aunt Sadie's thanking us again for the fact that we gave that card that we placed Bibles. So we should use that more often. Now, there were 1 or 2 people knew where Mount Pleasant Mills was. And if you know where Mount Pleasant Mills is, you know where Middleburg is. And I worked at Middleburg, lived in Mount Pleasant Mills. And this would have been about 4 months after the situation with Aunt Sadie, November of 1990. If they had all seasonals at that time, I didn't have them. And I didn't switch from summer tread to winter tread soon enough. I got stuck in the end of Shade Mountain there, 104, and not much of a mountain, but we call it a mountain. And one young man comes by, you need help, Bob? I said, I sure do. He said, jump in, I'll pull you out. He pulled me out, and I reached in my pocket to give him $10 or $20. He wouldn't take anything. I told my wife, I said, I'm going to use one of those cards again. So I send this card in recognition of pulling me out of the ditch, November, whatever the date was in 1990, and made it for 3 Bibles, I know, just my name. My wife wasn't involved, no note there. I didn't have to pay anything for the card, but I send my check of $15 off to the Gideons there at Silens Grove, that would have been. And young man named Lonnie gets this card from me, and he stops in at work several weeks later. He said, Bob, I told you I wouldn't take anything when you were stuck there, when I pulled you out, but you gave money for Bibles. And Lonnie was raised in a good Christian home. But Lonnie and his wife and 2 teenage youngsters were not living for the Lord as they should have been at that time. And I was really able to witness to Lonnie through that in sharing. I told my wife after getting home from work that day, we want to use that more often, explain to her what happened. And we still purchase some cards, but not many. Even Mother's Day and Father's Day, we give one of these to one another. You can say, well, that's not too nice. I know the night before Father's Day, there's going to be a card under my pillow. And she finds the same before Mother's Day. And you have people up here that were involved in your music, that they'd be blessed to get a card that they would know you appreciate what they're doing. Or for your pastor, for the messages they're delivered, for your youth person. Anniversary, some of you are my age. When you get invited to a 50th wedding anniversary, if they need something, you don't know what it is, we just automatically give one of these. Graduation soon coming up. These in recognition cards is probably my favorite, and getting out. Birthdays, anniversaries, and so forth. And then for those people who are not doing well physically, those you didn't see for a while, we have a thinking of you card. And the in-memory card, it used to be called the Memorial Bible Program. And I was speaking up here a little south of here at Tipton a number of years ago now. The pastor gets up afterwards and said, "You mean we can't use one of those cards if a person doesn't die?" Yes, we have different cards. A person doesn't have to die for you to use one of these. But my mother, 2.5 years ago, my mother squeezed my hand on the hospital bed the day, night before she passed away. She said, "Bob, make sure you tell the people to give for Bibles." She heard me share this a little bit and catch my father about 6 years before that. And I can't talk to Mom about it, but she knows about it up there in heaven. More than 600 Bibles were given in connection with the life that she lived. So I would encourage you. Now, in our household, the men don't take care of the cards, as a rule. The lady takes care of the cards, and there's two reasons for that. Some of you can identify with this. They can read my wife's writing much better than mine. And secondly, her thoughts are many times better. We'll talk who we should send cards to, and she usually takes care of. There's cards out there. I wish there would be more there. I would encourage you to pick up some cards when you're leaving. You'll use them much quicker if you have them at home. Let's go back to Albania, because the people using those cards, they got Bibles over there in Albania again. That local group of Gideons, the church they were a part of, paid for the bus fare to send them out further. And they come to this one school. It happens to be the school that that girl was from that had been visiting. That was her home school. One of those five that accepted Jesus saw that Gideon coming in with books. Even though that Gideon is very poor, couldn't afford a car, made $5 to $7 a day. He could say, that girl came running out, "You mean I'll get my own Bible?" He could say, "Yes, you'll get your own Bible because the people here are using that card program." You see how you're impacting lives around the world by having us here on an annual basis and praying for us. God's word going out, changing lives. Democratic Republic of Congo, one of the poorer countries we're in, and I wasn't there myself, Zaire used to be known as. There, a pastor, Kinshasa, the capital, was asked if the Gideon can come and speak. And the pastor laughed at the Gideon. And I don't know your pastor that well here. He seems like an enthusiastic person, whether he went home and told his wife, "Hey, some Gideon called," and some funny person. But anyhow, this pastor, when the Gideon said, "Why are you laughing? I don't understand." And the pastor said, "Well, you don't understand." He said, "I'm a product of your ministry." He said, "I used to be the medical doctor for the football team." Now, that part of the world, it was the athletic trainer for the soccer team. And they went from Zaire over to Madagascar, the Allan country. And he said, "When I was there, when I didn't have to be with the team, when they were scrimmaging, playing games," he said, "I was reading this book." He said, "That was so neat, the helps in front. First time I read the book." And he said, "When we left there, I stole your Bible." Now, I don't agree with stealing anything, but if you have to steal something, this is the best thing to steal. I'm not accusing pastors of stealing. He wasn't a pastor at that time. But this fellow took the Bible, went back to Kinshasa, through reading it, accepted Jesus, then was called into the ministry. He said, "Now you have to, as a speaker can come and share." "Of course a speaker can come. You're going to ask if we'll take an offering." "Yes, we will. But remember, it'll be very small because my people are very poor." But it only took one Bible to change my life. And the Lord has used my life to influence others that many have come to know the Lord. So he said, "I want my people to have the opportunity to give." And you have the opportunity to do that here this morning too. I shared that testimony up in Lock Haven. Young man named John came up to me. He said, "I want to tell you about what happened to me in Madagascar." He was a good Christian person, involved in mission type work. And he said, "I always like to have devotions before I go to bed." And he said, "There in the nightstand, the Bible was laying open." And he said, "I went to pick it up to take it back to my bed. And he couldn't lift it. And he checked, here it was a spike in the front cover, a spike in the back cover." He went down and inquired at the front desk. And they said, "We get tired of people taking that book, so we just spiked them all down." So not everybody steals our Bibles. But you can witness in connection with that. We figure in the average 13% are removed each year from the motel room. I mean, you get some of these people, they think they're going to they're going to eliminate the Gideons or eliminate the Bible. I guess they take it out each time they're in a room. I've heard testimonies how they briefcases, suitcases full of Bibles, and then something happens. They get led to the Lord along the line. But you can witness in connection with that. I have a feeling I may have shared this part here. I was here one time before for just a short presentation. We were back in the Sunday school room here. Used to have Sunday school back here? One of the rooms, okay. Probably about 10, 12 years ago or so. But what happened to my wife and I, we stopped up in Erie. And as Gideons, and I think you people as Christians, you probably check when you stop at a motel to see if it's a Bible there. And praise the Lord, it is a lot of times. But we're getting cases where it doesn't. In fact, I happen to be a Penn State graduate. I'm not saying I'm proud of that, but I am a Penn State graduate. And the Penn State or the Nittany Lion Inn have pulled the Bibles. They're not in the rooms. They'll tell you you can get them at the front desk. But we have so many people who stopped in a motel planning to commit suicide or so, and the Bible was there, and it changed. Those people weren't going to call the front desk to see if there's a Bible there. So, but what I'm leading up to, there in Erie, here was a Bible. There's a dollar bill sticking out. I said to Gloria, I said, well, this is different. And then checked. Here was a note. They said, if you need this dollar, take it, but you probably need Jesus more. And they told you what key verses to read to accept Christ as your Savior. And Gideons were supposed to pull out any extra things that are on there. Well, I took it out and made a copy of things, but I had to put that back in. I think more than 24% would read at least one verse of the Bible. If a note like that would be there. But lead people, when you check out of that motel, thank them that there's a Bible in the room. And if there's not one there, tell them you're disappointed that it wasn't a Bible in the room. I think it takes about 500 people to complain for one person complain there's not one there, for one person complain with it being there. You know what I'm getting at. It helps us to leave them know that you appreciate that Bible being there in the room. I was a Gideon about 2 years probably. And I thought, why aren't we sending all the Bibles overseas? Everyone has a Bible in my town of Mount Pleasant Mills, Silns Grove, Middleburg, you would think. And probably some of you think everyone has a Bible here in the Tyrone area. An 80 or 81-year young lady was given one of these Bibles after her husband passed away through our Next of Kin program, and she broke down in tears. She said it was the first Bible she ever received. Now, surely, she and her husband would have had the means they could have purchased one. They probably didn't have it a day or two. But this was given to her a key time there, and she was so appreciative. I could tell you about the head of housekeeping. Used to be a Holiday Inn from a school district across the river. Actually, the name was Lion Mountain, if that right. But she said she never had a Bible. Never had a Bible till we gave her that one. What I'm leading up to, going to take you out to Madison, Wisconsin. There's identical twins, Kevin and Keith Gillespie. And I wish Keith would be here. I've been with him in several programs, but I'll try to do justice to his testimony. Mother took them to church. In fact, he made the statement, we were drugged when we were little. They were drugged to church. But they told their mother that must have been a dysfunctional family. And said at the age of 12, we'll continue to come to church, but we really aren't paying attention to what the pastor's saying. But they would act as though they were listening. You lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. Those boys weren't about to accept things, but they were come with their mother. Age of 16, they told their mother they were devout atheists. The mother said, I'm not going to argue with you boys anymore, but you can't stop me from praying for you. Mother prayed for those boys. They were intelligent. They graduated. They were pretty close. University of Wisconsin at Madison. And that's the land grant there, just like Penn State does here in Pennsylvania. Those boys commuted. Fall morning, their freshman year, they get off the bus. I know this isn't green, but if Kevin were here, he'd share how you get off the bus. Here it looked like uniforms. They had umbrellas, top coats, box by their side, and a green testament. I walked up this one. Here, son, free copy of God's Word. This is for you. The devout atheist that was raised in the church really blasted into that Gideon, left him know he shouldn't be there and so forth. He goes a little bit further. Got a free book for you, a copy of the Word of God. And he blasted into that Gideon. Then he looked up. He said, every 50 yards as far as the eye could see were one of these men. He was already upset. So he gets to the third one, free copy. Okay, thank you. He puts it in his copy, in his pocket. He thought, well, this won't work. They won't know I have one. So he gets it out and said he'd act as though he's reading it. Book of Matthew, it starts with the begats. Not too exciting. But he gets about halfway through the Christmas story. If he were here, he'd say, I heard it many times, but never read it before. And it must have been the second class of the morning. So he's going there, and a class is in session, so he sits down in the hallway. He became so engrossed in reading, he skipped his class. Must have been like a Tuesday or Thursday schedule. We only have that one class. He goes to the library and continues reading. About 2:30 in the afternoon, he had read through the Gospels, the epistles, and he gets in the bus to go home, and he continues reading. By 11 o'clock at night, he's at the very back. And we have verses there like John 3:16, God loves you, and Romans 5:8, all are sinners. Romans 3:23 and 3:10, God's remedy for sin. 1 Corinthians 15:3 and 4, John 1:12, Romans 6:23, all may be saved now. Revelation 1:20, Romans 10:13, and then a place, my decision to receive Christ as my Savior. It goes on, verses for assurance as a believer and getting involved in a church. Kevin thought, my, this person got healed, they told someone. This person got saved, they told someone. And he accepted Christ as a Savior, I should state there. And then he thought, I have to tell someone. I'll go tell my identical twin brother. He was also a student there. He goes to Keith's room, see its light underneath the door, knocks on the door, and to Kevin's amazement, there was Keith on his knees by his bedside. Before Kevin could talk, Keith says, you remember those old men that were at the college today? Don't think we have any Gideons here I can get away without. I got myself in trouble several months ago stating that. But you remember those old men that were there today? He said, I took one of those books. And he said, I just accepted Jesus. And Kevin said, well, that's what I did, and I came over to tell you. Now think about that. Two young men that were raised in a church. Some church provided funds for a scripture. A Gideon took verbal abuse in inclement weather and so forth. A mother was praying and the Holy Spirit working. And today, Kevin Gillespie is training hospital chaplains in Chicago, Illinois. His identical twin brother, Keith, is an elementary teacher and leader of his church youth group. Do people need a copy of God's word here in the United States of America? God's word going out. We talked a little bit about witnessing during Sunday school. How many of you heard of the UAE? Or you know about anyone to the UAE? United Arab Emirates. I mentioned that, maybe I didn't share this in detail, we'll pick up on this right now. If you become, when you're going to have the opportunity to give here today, that card program, you can take one of those cards, give through that. You can give, there's an insert in your bulletin that looks something like this, has information about the cards. There's a QR code at the back if you want to make donations through that. I got a smartphone, but I must admit I don't know how to use it. But all the young people come up to me, hey, I made a donation for the Gideons this morning. I'm not going to tell you how to do it, but you people that have the smartphones can use them, you can do that. I'm in the category I'd tear this envelope off and turn it in if you aren't prepared this morning to give that. But when I can tell you that what you give goes entirely for the purchase and placement of scriptures, and the reason I can tell you that is because I pay dues of $60, my wife of $30. And they take that from all the Gideons around the world. And that pays for 130 people or so that are paid employees at Nashville, Tennessee. We don't have any paid Gideons in Pennsylvania. It also takes care of printing and mailing costs. And also brings people to us from other countries, very poor countries. They take a small percentage of the dues to bring people to our international convention. It was in Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love, right? Everyone liked to be in Philadelphia. I was there Thursday. It's not the most exciting place for me. But there in the city of brotherly love, we hosted this person from the UAE the last Saturday night, including night of the convention. We went to the Midtown Diner about two blocks away. I said to him, I said, what's the most exciting thing that occurred for you? It's the first time he's in the United States. I thought he'd share something about, I didn't know. I thought maybe about the airplane ride or the motel. It's a big facility there. He said, the most exciting thing being able to share this book that tells about Jesus on the streets. In his country, you could not express your faith or share with others unless you're in this one particular building. Now, I don't know if that's one building per city, but he mentioned about one building you had to be in. If they caught you outside of there, they would put you in prison. Now, our country isn't anywhere near like those of you that are my age thought it would be 50 years ago. We know that. But in comparison to what is in other countries, we still have an awful lot to be thankful for. We have the opportunity to witness to others now. That person was rejoicing in the opportunity. They could share the book that tells about Jesus in the streets in the city of brotherly love. Most of us were just hoping that we'd be able to get out of there, you know, get out safe and so forth. He was rejoicing having that opportunity. Are we doing what we can to witness to others is my challenge to you. Why am I here this morning? To thank you for having us on an annual basis. I already stated, you could have a sign out front, you're supporting missionaries in 199 countries. Having us here annually and praying for us, you are doing that. Secondly, if you would like to become involved with this ministry, and the pastor mentioned that in Sunday school, check with me afterwards. We have the Gideon membership, the financial partner, the prayer partner with the ministry where you get information. And if I would ask you the purpose of this church, I think you would say to win others, men and women, boys and girls, to the Lord Jesus. And you know, if you'd ask me the purpose of the Gideons, I would say to win others, men and women, boys and girls, to the Lord Jesus. So our purpose is the same as yours. Reach out to others. Although these 199 countries you're in, there's probably about a quarter to a third of those that you can't send a live missionary to. Now, we have people there under the pretext of health or agriculture or education probably, but they can't go there as a missionary, so to speak. But the Gideons are there. We have nationals who are there, and we get God's word to them, and there are missionaries there then. And I would encourage you ladies to consider picking up one of those cards. I hope that display is basically empty. Then tell the local group of Gideons they have to get more cards in there. You'll use them much quicker if you have them at home. You've got graduations coming up, birthdays, anniversaries. Seldom I speak to them, say, boy, you just gave me an idea how I can use one of those cards. And I'd like to have about three dozen of them to hand out to you, but I don't have quite that many. But they are there in that display. I encourage you to pick one up. Those of you that are using the Bible apps, and I saw you had listed up here pertaining to an app for the church. We have what we call the Gideon Bible app. And I'll have some of those available to me at the back. What's neat, it has the Bible in 1,240 some languages. And you would be able to share that with someone that maybe you can't speak to them, you don't understand their language, you can give them that. And the Bible in many cases would be read to them. And you know, I wasn't planning to share this, but do any of you have the U Bible, the U app? Craig Rochelle? You know how that started? Did you pay for it? Nobody pays for it. You know why? Some of his church leaders said, you should be charging for that. He said, no. What happened with Craig Rochelle, he was in college in a fraternity, and they were having problems. And someone suggested, you boys should get involved with studying the Bible. And so they agreed to have a Bible study, a given night, and Craig didn't even have a Bible. Sure enough, the Gideons were there that day, and he gets a little testimony. I can't believe this. I got a Bible here. And they go to this Bible study. About the third meeting that they had, Craig accepted Christ as his Savior. And then the Lord called him to the ministry. And he has a large network there somewhere in the Midwest. And he developed this U Bible. And they told him that you should charge for that. We could, even if you only charge 50 cents or a dollar. He said, oh no. He said, I got my Bible free. Accepted Christ through that. I'm never going to charge for that. And that's one of the more popular ones. There's going to be the opportunity to give. Number one is prayer. But if you can give, every dollar and 20 cents can provide a scripture for someone in another country. I explained how one Bible changed five lives. Some of you probably aren't in a position that you can give. And that is fine. But whatever ministry the Lord has called you into, you be faithful. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Thank you.